And we're holding mem beis omud beis by the Mishnah. Mishnah says, Hamudu hanah mechaveira, if one person is under a neder not to have hanah from the other one, as we've been talking throughout the parak, lo yashilenu, so the other person is not allowed to, the other person is not allowed to lend him anything. Now, in Lashon Kodesh, unlike in English, you have two different words for lending and borrowing things. In English, you talk about lending something and the other person borrowing it, whether you're talking about a consumable or not. You lend somebody money or you lend somebody your car, and it's the same word in English. In Lashon Kodesh, you have different words for it. When you're lending something where you're going to get back, where you expect to get back the actual thing, is called she'eva. And the borrowing it is also, the borrowing of it is also called she'eva. When you have something which is expected to be used up and replaced, like money or food, then we call it halva. So here the Mishnah is going to mention both. So, good morning, Ali. So hamud hanah mechaveira, when one person has hanah, is also to have hanah from the other one by a neder. Lo yashilenu, so the other one, Shimon then, is not allowed to lend him things where you're going to get back the actual item. Velo yishal mimenu, and conversely, Shimon is not allowed to borrow such items from Reuven. Now, why not? On the face of it, Shimon is allowed to have hanah from Reuven. It's just Reuven is also to have hanah from Shimon. That we're going to see in the Gemara. Lo yilvenu. Similarly, Shimon is not allowed to lend to Reuven money or food. And he's also not allowed to borrow money or food from Reuven for the same reason as we're going to discuss in the Gemara. There is an interesting point about whether, we'll learn the Gemara first, why there is, and then we'll discuss what the circumstances of the neder were. But anyway, the Mishnah continues. He's also not allowed to sell him something. V'lo yikach mimenu, and he's not allowed to buy something from him. Now, we did learn in the previous perek, we talked about when you have a neder in effect that you're not going to buy or sell from a certain group of people. For example, we had, let's say that you said, I'm not going to do business with any Jews or with any goyim or whatever. So we said that you still, that, you know, I'm not going to have enough from them. Rather, you are allowed to, for example, let's say you said that I'm not allowed to have enough from them. So you're not allowed to buy something at a discount, but you are allowed to buy it at a higher than normal price because then you're not having enough. We discussed in the Gemara over there, we had the whole discussion about different kinds of purchases. Are we talking about something which is very easily saleable? We call it zvina harifa, a very sharp kind of thing to buy where everybody wants it. There was the opposite, zvina deromi al ape, something that's sitting on his face and being in his way and he wants to get rid of it. And then you have mitzi, then you have zvina mitzia, then you have the average kind. So when we talk about over here not being able to buy and sell, so the Ran says we have to be talking about over here zvina harifa. We have to be talking about one of those kinds of things where it's easy to buy, it's easy to sell. Many people want it, so we're assuming the Gemara is going to assume therefore that the buyer is gaining much more than the seller is because the seller isn't gaining so much that he has this particular customer. He could easily find another customer, but the buyer is gaining that he found something which is not that easy, which is not that easy to find. So the Ran learns that when the Gemara is going to discuss it now, it's going to assume that we're talking about that it's talking about that kind. And the reason is, he says, because when you consider the structure of the Mishnah, he says, you have lo yashilenu, he's not allowed to, that Shimon is not allowed to lend him objects, v'lo yishal mimenu, and by the way, he's also not allowed to borrow from him for reasons that the Gemara is going to say. So in other words, we're listing first where Reuven is going to have actual hanah from Shimon, and then we're listing something else, which is the other way around. Therefore, we're going to assume that when it comes to buying and selling, also, we're talking about something where Reuven is the one having the hanah, Reuven being the buyer, namely, therefore, we have to be talking about zvina harifa, because otherwise, if it was any other kind of thing, then you wouldn't necessarily say that Reuven is the one having the greater hanah than Shimon is. On the other hand, the Rosh learns that we're talking about Zvina Metzia, we're talking about an average kind of thing, where both of them have an equal Hana from being bought and sold. The Rosh says that if in fact we did have before, again, in connection with that whole concept, you would be allowed to buy at a higher price than normal, because then you're not having Hana. The Ran, on the other hand, going back to the Ran, he says it's different in that case when we learned earlier about that business of Zvina Harifa and Zvina Metzia and all of that. The difference was there we were talking about making a neder to not have Hana from an entire nation. Here we're talking about just making a neder not to have Hana from one individual person. So there'd be a difference in that regard, as the Gemara is going to say. So the Gemara says, "Bishleima lo yalvenu." I understand why Shimon is not allowed to lend money or objects to Reuven, because he's giving him hana. Elo lo yulvehimenu. But why should Shimon be allowed to borrow from Reuven? My kamahanile. How is Reuven giving Shimon? How is Shimon giving Reuven a hana by Shimon borrowing something from Reuven? Or bishleima lo yulvehimenu v'lo yikach himenu. And by the same token, you can say, I can understand. Actually, this first part is asking about lo yisham menu. So the wording of the Gemara is the wording of the Gemara has to be changed a little bit. And then there's notes on the side that say so, because first we're asking about she'ela, where he's borrowing objects, because then he's having hana. I understand why he can't borrow consumables from him and buy from him. To come his hani mine, again, he's having hana from him. Ela lo yishal himenu, but he's not allowed to borrow objects from him. My come his hani mine. Where is the hana? If Reuven is borrowing any kind of object from Shimon, or if we're talking about again, if we say it's zvina harifa and he buys something from Shimon, then he's having hana. But the other way around, if he's lending something to Shimon, or if he's buying from Shimon something that's not a zvina harifa, then how is he getting hana from him? What's the problem then? So the Gemara answers, Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, Gugan Shinodu Hana Zemizeh. So Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina says very simple. Our Mishnah is talking about they made a neder not to have hana from each other. So till now, we've been talking about where Reuven is also to have hana from Shimon, but Shimon is still mutter to have hana from Reuven. Here we're talking about, says Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina, we're talking about they made a neder not to have hana from each other. Now, what would be the chiddush in that case? The Ran says, we learned at the beginning of the perek, we said that a number of the Mishnayos in our perek are going according to Rabbi Eliezer, who says, vitur also b'mudr hana. He says, when it comes to a mudr hana, even small kinds of things where many people would not even consider it a hana, are still osir. So that would be the point of our Mishnah, is also to say another example of this vitur osir b'modr hana. So in other words, in a certain sense, there's not a total chiddush in it, because we already know this concept of vitur, but the point is that we're being informed that these kinds of things are included in that category, as the Ran puts it. They're no worse than, they're no less important than vitur, therefore they would be osir. You shouldn't think, in other words, that the hana of being able to borrow something is a small kind of hana that maybe the average person wouldn't mind. No, we're saying it still is considered in vitur, therefore it would still be also. on the other hand, Abaya gives a different reason. It has nothing to do. We're talking about the regular case where Reuven is also to have hana from Shimon, but not the other way around. But gzera lishol mishum lahasho. We make a gzera that Shimon is not allowed to borrow from Reuven because he may come to lend to Reuven. V'chein b'chulu gzera, and the same thing in the rest of the cases, it's all a gzera that if you do one, you may come to do the other. So now, a couple of interesting things in that. First of all, so the Ran mentions that, again, we had that case earlier where a person makes a neder that I won't have hana from any other Jews or from any goyim or what have you, and we talked about being able to buy at a higher price, or in the case where they won't have hana from me, then if they're willing to go ahead with it, then he can sell them at it, then he can sell to them at a higher price, whatever. There we don't make such gzeiros. The Ran brings from the Rambam that the reason is because there, since you made a neder about an entire nation, So we're not going to be matriach you to find a whole nother nation to do business with. But here where it's one individual that you made the neder, then fine. You won't borrow from him, and you won't lend to him. You'll find somebody else to borrow and lend. You'll find somebody else to borrow and lend between. So therefore, there'd be more reason to make a gzeira in this case. Tosfos mentions the Rosh and Tosfos bring up another point as well, which is at least when it comes to the Gemara actually asked two different questions. First, it asked about according to the different ways we have the girsa over here, but whatever, it asked about separately about the lending things that are used up and lending things that are not used up. So one point is the Rosh and Tosfos make a point that when it comes to lending money, let's say, you could, after all, conceivably have a hana in that you get back better quality coins than you lent out. So say, for example, we're not familiar with it because, a dollar is a dollar, whether it's fresh out of the mint or whether it's worn out. But whatever, the back then, there was a difference in, as far as coins, you could have coins that are full weight, coins that have been rubbed out and been in circulation a long time and are objectively worth less, although in practice, because they have less metal in them, although in practice, everybody still accepts it as that denomination. So there's no problem with ribis over here. But practically speaking, imagine you have, for example, that Reuven, so let's say we were to say Reuven lends Shimon money, and he were to lend him, let's say, rubbed out, worn out coins. And later on, when Shimon pays him back, he pays him back with newly minted coins. There's no problem with ribis. Either way, the coin is still worth the same amount as its face value. But nevertheless, the fact is that one type is easier to spend than the other. Merchants are more willing to spend the new, are more willing to accept the full weight new coins than they are the old rubbed out ones. So therefore, you can say that there might be a certain hana over there. So then the question would be, what about she'ela? Where, after all, by she'ela, you're borrowing my animal. You're going to return me the very same animal, and the same thing with other kinds of things. On the face of it, there's no hana over there. And there we need Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chaninas and Abaya's two answers. A couple of other interesting things in this is the Ur Sameach says that maybe the Gemara is also asking, lending somebody money is a mitzvah. We know the Torah tells us in Kesef Talvas Am. On the other hand, lending somebody objects, it may be Gemilas Chasadim, but it's not specifically a mitzvah in the Torah. Therefore, the Gemara was bothered by the question that it's one thing to say that She'ela should be also because you're not really accomplishing a mitzvah, but why should Halva be also when on the face of it you're accomplishing a mitzvah with that? And we've learned earlier in the Perek that when there's a mitzvah involved, that, like we said, for example, about Hashavas Aveda and Bikur Cholim and whatever, then the rules are different. And the Gemara is saying, again, you have the two answers of the Gemara, either that we're talking about a reciprocal neder, or that in this case, the Chachamim do make a gzeira. One other point also is the Rashash makes a point that maybe, now again, whenever we talk about one person being osir and hanah from the other, we can always talk about two possible cases within that. How did this neder come about? Was it that Reuven voluntarily said, I won't have hanah from you, Shimon? Or is it the other way around, where Shimon says, Reuven, I don't want you to have any hanah from me? So the Rashash argues that there might be a difference in halacha between these two. The Maaseh, the Poskim, don't bring such a distinction in halacha, but he argues that maybe there could be a distinction. If it's that Reuven initiated the neder, then fine, you could say, look, why did he do it? Not necessarily because he doesn't like Shimon. Maybe he's doing it because he feels he's been too dependent on Shimon, and now he wants to wean himself off it, whatever. So therefore, there is the concern that if Shimon lends him, he may end up, or the other way around, if he lends Shimon, then Shimon may end up lending to him, and you have a problem of hana. You could argue, though, that Rashash said that if it's Shimon who initiated the neder and said, Reuven, I don't like you, you're not allowed to have hana from me, maybe then there'd be less of this issue in the Gemara, because then if he's not going to like him, he's not going to come and borrow things from him. So therefore, maybe it should be less of an issue then. Okay. Mishnah says, Omar loy hashileni poroska. Suppose that Reuven asks Shimon, "Lend me your cow because I want to plow with it." So far there's no neder between them yet. So Shimon tells him, "I'm sorry, my cow is not available." Omar, so Reuven is upset. So he answers. He says, "Koinam sodi shani chodesh bala olam.
a koinam, that I will never plow my field with that cow. So it's a way of saying, in other words, that he's upset over the situation. So he says, you know what? Who needs your cow? Fine, I promise I'm never going to use your cow to plow my field. With that said, though, actually, that's the way that most of the Mephoshim understand. The Ritva actually says it may mean actually that Shimon, the owner of the cow, is using that neder to back up what he's saying. You should know, my cow, I'm telling you, my cow is unavailable. Stop bugging me about it. So much so that I'm willing to make a neder that I'm not going to plow my field with this cow.
Oh,
as we had his own, according to the Ritva, it might be his own field, right? According to everybody else, it would mean that Reuven is saying that I'll never borrow your cow to plow this field. Well, who exactly is going to be Osir to plow that field? So Imhoya Darke Lachrish, if Reuven himself is the one who regularly plows his own field, who also chaladim mutarin, then he is also to plow using that cow from now on, as long as the neder is in effect. But everybody else would be mutar, because we assume then that when he says, that I won't plow when he was, so since he himself is the usual one who plows, we assume that it means when he says I won't plow means exactly that. What I would usually do with such a cow to plow in it, I won't do. But still implying that somebody else would be allowed to do it on his behalf.
He's not saying I don't want to have enough from this cow.
He's not saying I don't want to have enough from this cow. Exactly. If he did, there's no question. Can't have enough. And here he's saying.
He has a worker. Sheikh.
Right. But here what he's saying is that. So that's the thing. So he means, in other words, so the Ran explains the mashmos of what he's saying is that he himself will not plow. Because the Loshen, after all, was koinam sodi shani chorish baloilam. My field, I will not plow with this cow ever. So therefore, so it implies the nether is that I would, that when it's I using this cow for this field, when you have all these three things together, then I won't do it. But if he said sodazu, I mean, so then it would just mean that he can't plow any other field with it. But still, he said anich shani chodesh ba. So therefore, it would still imply that somebody else could do it for him. On the other hand, but if he's not the usual one who plows anyway, then we have to understand his neder as meaning that he won't have hana from the plowing of this cow. Well, then, so therefore, he and everybody else are going to be also to plow with this cow as long as the neder is in effect. Continues the Mishnah, another case. So in other words, the point of that part of the Mishnah is that we figure out when he says the Loshen, sodi shani chorish baloilam, we have to figure what does he mean by the ani chorish. So we're gonna say sometimes ani chorish can mean I personally won't plow. Sometimes it can mean I won't have hana from this plowing, and you have to be able to tell based on the context which one he meant. Next,
you can ask him.
So we learned earlier, stam the dorim lahachmir purushan lahakel. Yeah, if we were to ask him afterwards and say that I actually meant that only I personally won't, then fine. But we're saying that over here, by default, we assume this way. If he himself never plows, we have to assume that a neder that he won't plow is meaningless, because he anyway never plows. So therefore, we would have to assume that he's saying nobody else will plow it for me either. Yeah, if afterwards we were to ask him and he were to say, I actually meant only that I personally won't plow, then fine. I mean, it would be a useless neder. It would be like what we called before, nidre havai, but nevertheless. Okay. Next. Hamudr hana mechaver. Suppose that Reuven is also to have anah from Shimon. The problem is Reuven doesn't have anything to eat. So Shimon wants to be able to do Reuven a chesed and be able to get him food. And again, whether we're talking about over here that Reuven is the one who initiated the neder, whether we're talking about that Shimon is the one who initiated the neder, either way, even if we say it's Shimon who initiated it, which shows a bit of a lack of Avos Yisrael, still afterwards he'd be thinking to himself and saying, you know, Reuven has no food. What am I going to do about it? The truth is, actually, the question is whether the following din of the Mishnah is going to apply only when the person has no food, or is it going to apply in other cases as well? The Shach on Shulchan Aruch says that it's meant to apply taka only when he has no food, because b'shas et chak, even though what we're going to describe in the Mishnah over here seems to be a very blatant kind of harama, you're like very, very, very blatantly going and then using a loophole to get around the din. Nevertheless, in this case, because he has no food, the Chachamim will allow it. On the other hand, Tosfos over here, and in some other places, says that it might work even if he has, here Tosfos used the expression, the Rosh also, Urcha de Milsa, this is the normal way. Normally, when would you use such a harama, as we're going to describe in the Mishnah, is when the other guy doesn't have food, but in fact, it would be mutter at other times as well.
Like we learned earlier, also when a person says that it comes to visiting a person sick, you're allowed to visit a stand.
Right. So Hoylach Eitzel Achenri. So what Shimon can do is he can go to a storekeeper, and the Ran adds, even if Shimon is a regular customer by the storekeeper, so the storekeeper knows exactly what he's doing it for. And in fact, there was a girsa, a Rogel Etzlai, a storekeeper whom he's a regular customer by. Anyway, for Omer, and he says, now he can't tell the storekeeper directly to give to Reuven. That would be the storekeeper then is acting as a shliach. That's no good. But over Omer, he can say, Ish pointy no do me many hana, so and so, Reuven, has made a neder not to have hana for me, but any day, my ass. Now I don't know what to do about it. And the storekeeper gets the hint, Vahud noisin loy, now he gives food to Shimon. And then he can come and get reimbursed. He can go give food to Reuven, rather. He can go give food to Reuven, the Mudu Hana, and then go get reimbursed from Shimon. Now, the Ran adds, we don't mean that Shimon has to pay him. If Shimon has to pay him, then still it would be considered that the storekeeper is doing it as a shliach. It means that if Shimon wants, he can reimburse the storekeeper. And it's not considered to be that he did it as a shliach, right?
Just leave money on the table, walk away.
No, to leave money on the table might not, because then leaving money on the table, leaving food. Actually, we're going to talk about in a minute. That's something else. That's hefker. Here we're talking about he's not making anything hefker. Here we're talking about he arranges with the storekeeper that the storekeeper is going to give Reuven food. If Shimon wants, later on he can reimburse the storekeeper. So the storekeeper, in other words, can't take Shimon to Beis Din and say, I gave food on your behalf, you need to pay, because then that would still amount to it's being done in Shimon's shlichus. But it can be done like this, where afterwards the storekeeper, either he can get reimbursed by Shimon, if Shimon is willing to, or I guess later on, the storekeeper could also get reimbursed by Reuven. The food went to Reuven. Yeah,
but if he's going to come inside and ask for, and want to get food, and say, oh, there's credit here for you? I mean, what's he saying?
So in other words, so the next time Reuven comes into the store, then the storekeeper will tell you, you know what? Yeah, there's credit on your account. Come take food. Yeah. Okay. Come buy food. Yeah.
Even if he knows his credit, it doesn't matter because he wasn't the one who made the shvuah, it was the other guy.
Exactly. Well, we're talking about that we can be talking about that Reuven is the one who initiated the neder not to have anah from Shimon. It could be the other way around. It could be Shimon said, I don't like you, Reuven. I don't want you to have anah from me. Either way, when Reuven comes into the store, the storekeeper is not necessarily going to tell him that this is coming from Shimon. He's just going to tell him that there's money available on your account. Yeah. Similarly, continues the Mishnah, Hoya Beisei Livnei. Similarly, if Reuven has a house that needs to be built, and here we're talking about, first we're saying that it's allowed, that such things are allowed even for the purpose of mezonos. Now we're saying not even for mezonos, even for other kinds of necessities of his. So if he has a house that has to be built, gedere ligder, or he has a fence that needs to be rebuilt, sadehu ligder, or he has a field that needs to be harvested. So again, now, Shimon can't directly go hire workers on Reuven's behalf, because that would be giving Reuven hana. But hoylach etzel apoylim, Shimon can go over to workers. But Oymer, and he says the same thing. Ish pleni mudim meni hana. Reuven is under a neder of not to have hana for me. Ve'eni adem ha'esa. I don't know what to do. Ve'hein oisin imoy. And again, now the workers can get the hint and go and do Reuven's work. Oboin v'notlin schay mizeh. And again, then they can get reimbursed from Shimon. And it's not considered that Shimon gave the hana to Reuven because they didn't do it directly as Reuven, as Shimon's shlichus.
These days, at least for sure, the workers say, are you going to pay us for it?
Right. Well, I mean,
and maybe we're very smart those days.
Right, maybe they were smarter. Yeah, it could be. Yeah, I mean, it could. You know, also, I mean, the understanding would be that they're going to be paid generally, but you know, they didn't actually make it up. They didn't actually write out a contract that I, Shimon, will be responsible to pay you for this work you're doing on behalf of Romania. And I mean, again, you know, it's not like if the pashtus, they might also be able to go and get the pay from Reuven. That's another matter. You have a din in other places in Shas. When you have the one person owns a field, let's say, and somebody else goes and voluntarily does work or hires workers for it, so to what extent is he entitled to be reimbursed? Forget about mudr hanah, just regular cases. Dini mamonos, to what extent is Reuven chayev to pay? Because after all, on the one hand, he didn't ask for the work to be done. On the other hand, he's getting hanah from it because his field's being harvested or his building is being built or whatever. So there's other places in Chas where it discusses that to what extent he's responsible to pay those workers. So yeah.
The guy goes and starts working that field for a year or two, and after the guy comes back, he sees that things are nice and good. He has to
pay a certain amount, right? So here were the same thing. So yeah, so in other words, that the workers could get paid by Reuven, there's no chiddush in it. Then for sure, he hasn't received any hanah from Shimon. The only hanah was that Shimon told the workers, I don't know what I'm going to do. The guy needs this work done. And they get the hint. But so that they can be paid by Reuven, there's no chiddush. The chiddush is they can even be paid by Shimon as long as we're not saying that Shimon is liable to pay them. Because if he was, then it would be shlechus. Yeah. Similarly, continues the Mishnah. Hoyu mahalchin baderech. Suppose they were walking on the road. The ein loy mayuchal and Reuven has nothing to eat. Noisim laechad mishum l'shul acher mishum matana. Then what Shimon can do is he can give the food to somebody else as a present. So Levi is with them, let's say. He gives it to Levi as a present. And now that it's in Levi's possession, now Reuven is able to have hanah from it. So again, we would obviously have to assume that he's not talking about that he said that the koinam is on this food, because if it was, then changing hands doesn't help anything. We're talking about the neder to the first in the first place was that not, well, not on the person per se, but rather on the person's nechosin. So yeah, so like we said the other day, nechosai, alecho, or whatever. So therefore, once they're not Shimon's anymore, then Reuven can have enough from them. Continues the Mishnah. Im eini mohim acher. What happens if there's nobody else with them? Then maniach ala sela ayala geder. Then what Shimon can do is he can put the food on a rock or on a fence. But Oimer, and he announces harein mufkorin lachomish yachbots. They are hefker for anybody who wants to take them. V'halon notu oichel. And then Reuven's able to take it because it was hefker. Which, by the way, we're going to learn in the Gemara that midrabanan, to make something hefker, you need to have three people. You need to have three people over there. Midaraisa, it's fine to make something hefker just in the presence of one person. But we're going to learn at the end of the parak that midrabanan, you have to have three in order that you have one can be the one to be zoicha and the other two to be aged on it. We're going to learn at the very end of the parak on Memhei Amar Aleph. So therefore, usually you should need people over there to be aged. But here, because of the situation, because Reuven doesn't have what to eat, therefore the Chachamim allowed us to make this exception and go back to the original Din Torah, which is that you can make something hefker in the presence of nobody or in the presence of just one other person over there. And then the fact is it's hefker, now Reuven can take it.
Now, would it be a difference if you just put it on a very low spot or a high spot?
No, we're just mentioning a rock or a fence for practical reasons. You put it on the ground, it's going to get overrun with ants and other bugs. So practically speaking, you'd want to put it on something high, but no, Pashkos doesn't make a difference.
Because it's something like a high spire, it's a semi aspect touch of
it. No. Well, I'm not talking about you put it out of reach. Pashkos, we're talking about you put it someplace in reach and you declare it hefty. But Rabbi Yossi says it's also to do that for reasons that we're going to see in the Gemara. On the other hand, Tosfos says Rabbi Yossi will agree that when you use a third party, when Shimon is giving the food to Levi and then Levi is giving to Reuven, that would be fine. It's only in the case of Hefker that Rabbi Yossi is disagreeing, as we're going to see in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "Omer Rabbi Yechon, in my time with Rabbi Yossi." So why does Rabbi Yossi say that it would be a problem if he makes it Hefker? Kosava Hefker Kamatana. Because Rabbi Yossi holds that making something Hefker is just like giving a present. Ma matona ad asim l'shus noisim l'shus makabel. When it comes to a present, you have to have that it doesn't actually leave the giver's reshus until it actually reaches the reshus of the recipient. Af hefker ad asim l'shus soicha. The same thing with hefker, it's still considered to belong to the original owner until it reaches the other person. Well, then, in that case, you have a problem over here, because what's going to happen? You put this thing on the rock, you say this is hefker, but nevertheless, Rabbi Yossi is holding, it's still considered in your reshus. Now, when the other guy takes it, he's taking from your reshus. And that's no good.
If someone were behind you, he would be able to allow to grab you.
Somebody up, fine. But the point is, only when somebody else grabs it does it now leave Shimon's Rishus. Until then, Rabbi Yossi is saying, says Rabbi Yochanan, that's still considered to be in Shimon's Rishus. Well, if it's in Shimon's Rishus, then Reuven can't take it from him.
If the person walks away.
Yeah, what?
FK doesn't exist. It doesn't, it's an impossibility that to say that something can be Hefker, but it's not Hefker until it belongs to someone else. It doesn't make any sense. How can you say that?
In effect, what Rabbi Yochanan is saying is that there can, of course, be such a thing as Hefker, but what happens with Hefker is it's Hefker in the sense anybody else is allowed to take it. If you take it, it's not considered stealing from the original person. However, there's no time, says Rabbi Yochanan is saying, Rabbi Yossi would say, there's no time when it doesn't belong to anybody. It always belongs to somebody, either to Shimon or to Levi or to whoever takes it.
It doesn't make any sense.
All it is just without declaring it Hefker, Levi would have no right to take it or be stealing from Shimon. Now he has the right to take it, but there's no time when it's actually completely ownerless. And the truth is,
it doesn't
also
make sense. On the one hand, he's saying that it always belongs to someone,
right.
And on the other hand, he's saying, but that anyone can take it away from him. So how can it be FK? It doesn't make any sense.
That's what we're saying.
It's impossible.
Of course, it can be possible.
It's impossible.
exactly that. I own something, but I am making it available for anybody else to take. So the moment anybody else takes it and does a kinyan on it, it becomes theirs. Until then, it's mine. All it is I've given free permission.
Well, that's not Hefker. Hefker means it doesn't have any ownership.
According to Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of Rabbi Yossi, that is Hefker.
No.
Yeah, that's how it is. Okay. So the Gemara says, Masiv Rab Abba. So Rab Abba says that I have a contradiction to that. We say the Braisa also mentions this point that Shimon puts down the food on a rock and then Reuven can take it. That Reuven can then come and take the food. One point, by the way, about this business about Matana. So the Rosh points out, for example, you have a Gemara elsewhere that says, suppose, for example, that a regular case of Matana, forget for a moment about Mudr Hanor or any of that. A regular case where Reuven gives Matana to Shimon. Suppose that Shimon says, I don't want it. So what happens with it? So the din would be that it returns to Reuven's possession. Shimon didn't want it, therefore it returns to Reuven. So now, in effect, Rabbi Yossi is saying, says Rabbi Yochanan, that Hefker is the same thing. Only when somebody else takes it does it become his. Until that, the same way as with the Matana. Until Shimon is actually willing to accept the Matana, it belongs to Reuven. Rabbi Yossi is saying Hefker is the same thing. The only difference is Hefker, you're saying, you're not mentioning a specific recipient, you're saying anybody can take it. The Svara is still the same. That's the thing. According to Rabbi Yossi, the case of our Mishnah is not going to work. Because to give it to somebody else and give it to Reuven, fine. Rabbi Yossi would be okay with that. But to make it Hefker, where then it's still considered to be Shimon's, exactly like the Matana, until Reuven takes it, then that's no good. Yeah, what?
If anybody can take it, then it cannot be in anyone's reshus. It one includes the other.
That's not how it works. Think of
it. But what do you mean it's not how it works?
Listen. You don't even need that.
It's impossible.
One second, think of it. You can even have where I actually retain ownership of something, but I'm still giving people free use of it, right? I can have, for example, where let's take that as an example. Anybody who wants can come and grind grain with it whenever they want. Does it mean that it's Hefker? No, it belongs to me, but I'm still giving people the free use of it. The same way over here, it is possible to say, this thing belongs to me until somebody else takes possession of it. And then at that point, I'm giving up my possession of it and whoever that is can take it. So it's exactly similar to a Matana. The difference is that a Matana, you're mentioning a specific person you want to give it to, and here you're not mentioning a specific person. So according to Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of Rabbi Yossi, that is exactly the mechanism by which Hefker works.
No, but in a Matana, you stipulate that clearly, that the ownership and the possession are separate. Here, you don't say anything. You don't say there is an ownership and there is possession.
Which means you're saying it's hefter, which means, in other
hefter
words,
hefter means right? There's no possession, there's no ownership, and no possession.
No, according to WAC, that's not what it means. It means possession is available for anybody else to take, but until it does, it's still in my possession. Because you're used to thinking of hefter according to the way the Chachamim define it, but now you should know Rabbi Yossi has a different definition of how that works.
Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi says that when you're in possession of something, you're not an owner. Is that correct?
No, that's not what he's saying. No, when you're in possession of something, you're the owner of it. Now you can be that you're still the owner of it until it comes to somebody else's possession. All you've done is you're saying that I am willing, as soon as somebody else comes who wants this thing, then I'm at that moment, I'm relinquishing my ownership and my possession of it, and the other person can take it. That's all. Let's go on. That's what Rabbi Yochanan is saying, is Rabbi Yossi's definition of hefker. So Mosiv Rab Abba. So Rab Abba says I have a contradiction on that. Again, Braisa starts saying the same as our Mishnah that we're talking about, that Shimon puts the food on a wok. And we said that Reuven then is allowed to take the food for Rabbi Yossi also, but the Braisa continues as the Mishnah does, that Rabbi Yossi says it's also. And in the Braisa, we're adding more details. Rabbi Yossi, Emasai, when Rabbi Yossi says, when am I talking about that there was, that I don't agree that this would work? Bizman shenidrei kodim lahefker. If the neder came before making it hefker. So if there was already a neder in effect that Reuven is not going to have hanah from Shimon, and now later on Shimon goes and declares something hefker, then we're saying that the neder is still in effect on it, and Reuven is not allowed to take that food. Avolim hoya hefkeri kodim lanidrei, but if the hefker came before the neder, so you have something which Shimon declared hefker before he ever made a neder to ask the Reuven to have enough from him, then hareis a mutter. Then it would be mutter, because at the point when he made the neder, it was onerous. Well, that's the question. The e amet ad osilu shus zoicha. If you, Rabbi Yochanan, are telling us that the mechanism of hefker, according to the Yossi, is that hefker is that something that's in hefker still actually belongs to the original owner until somebody else takes it. Mali nidre kodim lefkeri, mali lefkeri kodim lenidre. So who cares what came first, the hefker or the neder? Either way, this object used to belong to Shimon. Now, according to the Yossi, it still belongs to Shimon until somebody else takes it. So who cares that only later on did he make the neder? The din should still be. This is something that belongs to Shimon. Yes, Shimon has already declared it hefker, but according to your understanding of Rabbi Yossi, till somebody else picks it up, then it's still considered to belong to Shimon. So how can Rabbi Yossi say that there could be a case where Reuven is allowed to have it? The answer is, who moisiv lov umashani lov. Rab Abba asks the question. He also answers, kolan noider ein daiti amasha hifti. Very simple. You could say when a person makes a neder, he doesn't have in mind to include something that he previously declared hefter. So even though it is true, according to Rabbi Yossi, it still does belong to Shimon. So it's not, in other words, that it doesn't belong to Shimon. According to the Chachamim, we would say once Shimon declared it hefter, it's not his anymore. Therefore, Reuven can take it. Rabbi Yossi is saying that. We thought the problem was that Rabbi Yossi is saying that it's still with that we, so we thought the problem is because it still belongs to him. Now we're saying, no, what it is the reason, so it's true, it still does belong to him. However, Rabbi Yossi is going to say that this object, if it was hefker before he ever made the neder, was never included in the neder in the first place. So therefore, in other words, when Shimon makes a neder, Reuven will not have enough. My nechassim, he's only meaning to include nechassim that are his in the regular way, not something that he had previously declared a neder, not something that he previously declared a hefker. Even though, according to Rabbi Yossi, according to our understanding of Rabbi Yossi now, that thing still belongs to him as well. Nevertheless, mentally, when he made the neder, he didn't mean to include that object. Therefore, there's no neder on it. Therefore, Reuven would be able to take it. So it's a subtle point, but in other words, we're not saying that it doesn't belong to Shimon. We're saying it wasn't included in the purview of the neder in the first place. So that's an answer. But Mosiv Rava says in that case, I have a contradiction from another Braisa. The Braisa describes, suppose you have a person has nechassim. Now, the Ran explains that we're talking about, let's say, that he wants to give it to one or another of his avodim. Different other mefoshim talk about over here, the Rosh, and Tosfos talk about that it actually might mean with a shchivara. So let's first go with the Ran, and first let's go with the Ran and explain that, and then we'll get back to the other explanation. Miktsosim l'rishon. Suppose a person says, I have a bunch of nechassim, I'm going to give some of them to one of my avodim. V'kulon l'shem. And then he says, I want to give all of them to the second one. So the girsa we have in front of us in the Gemara is like the girsa of the Rosh and whoever else. So let's first go with the girsa of the Ram. So he says, then the din would be, that actually what would happen is not only does the second one acquire all the nechosim and not the first one, but the second eved would even become free and have the right to keep the first one as an eved. Because what happens when he says that I'm going to give some of my nechosim to the first eved, some of my nechosim means he's leaving something behind. The Gemara tells us in other places, in Gittin and in other places, the thing is that then we have to assume that the Eved himself is included in the part of the Nechosim that he's keeping for himself. So he's still an Eved. Masha Kona Eved Kona Rabbi. An Eved has no ability to acquire something independently. Therefore, the result is he remains an Eved. On the other hand, when he gives all the Nechosim to the second Eved, well then, by giving him all the Nechosim means he's giving him his own freedom as well. Therefore, now he's a Ben Chodin. He's able to acquire, and he's even able to acquire the first Eved. So the point is, therefore, so we see from that, in other words, that even though the master had already said, I'm giving some of the nechosim to the first eved, we still override that, and we still say all of the nechosim go to the second eved. Because otherwise, if we didn't say that, we would have the same problem. If he said some of the nechosim go to the first eved and some of them go to the second eved, neither one of them would be free and neither one of them would be acquiring anything. Because again, when he says some of the nechosim, it can mean that he's saying you yourself are still part of the nechosim and you're not free yet. By the same token then, if you're telling me, Rab Abba, that when a person declares something hefker, he has in mind from now on, anything that he says about his nechosim is going to exclude what he made hefker. Well, then in the case we're talking about over here, why are we saying that what he says to the second Eved should include what he said to the first? He said already to the first one, I'm giving you some of my nechosim. So therefore, some of those nechosim should be excluded from the gift to the second Eved. And the result would be, again, that neither one would be free because neither one has received all of the nechosim. And yet you're saying that we assume that even though he already said some of my nechosim, still when he says all of my nechosim, it includes the sum that he already said before. So they were because the other person hasn't actually taken possession of them yet. Well, therefore, applying that to our case over here, even if Shimon makes something hefker and then makes a neder that Reuven should be also to have anah from him, it should include those nechosim as well. And yet we see Rabbi Yossi is making the distinction. I know. That's what I'm saying. We're going according to the girsa of the Ran first. The girsa of the Ran is that Sheni Zochel is Shtabel Berish. Now, the Rosh and Tosfos discuss, according to the girsa that we have in front of us, that what we're talking about is, we're talking about a shchivara. So a person who is on his deathbed, that would be a goisus really, but he's sick and is soon going to die. So he's a shchivara, he's handing out his property to people. So he gives some of it to one person, he makes a kinyan with one person and says, I'm giving you some of them. And then he says, all of it is going to the second one. So the din would be, the first one is acquiring his part of the nechassim. The second one is not. When we say acquired or not, what we mean is like this. The din is that when a shchivara gives a gift of something to somebody else, if late we assume that he was doing it only because he figured he's going to die soon. If he recovers, then we say that the kinyan is bottled. On the other hand, that would only apply if it was all the nechassim. If it was some of it, then we say, look, I mean, you knew you can't take any nechassim with you to the next world. So therefore, if you were willing to give away some of your nechassim, then that would be like a regular matana, and therefore it's still in effect. So now what happens is that the gift to Reuven still stays in effect, even though the Shchivanah recovers, he can't undo it. On the other hand, the Rosh mentioned the point Imloit Sivam. Okay, so Reuven is going to be able to keep his. On the other hand, when he said to Shimon, everything is going to go to you, that would be a regular matnas shchivanah. Therefore, it can be undone if the shchivanah recovers. Now, what do we see from that? We see, since the first one was koina, so we see that it means, in effect, like he changed his mind. When he first gave something to Reuven, he didn't yet have in mind to give to Shimon. Because after all, if he originally intended to give to both of them, then neither one would be koina yet. Because again, he plans to give away all his nechassim, so therefore we would apply the rules of shchivanah. The fact that Reuven gets to keep his implies that he fully intended that at the time when he gave to Reuven, he didn't even have any intention of giving anything to Shimon yet. Later on, in effect, he changed his mind and said that I'm giving everything to Shimon, and we say that's considered everything. So we see again, in other words, the idea is that he's having in mind when he gives to the second one, he has in mind already what he gave to the first one. Therefore he says kula, and kula includes what he already gave to Reuven. But we're saying it's too late because Reuven has already coined it. Well, we see by the same token, when he says kula, he has in mind already what's not in his possession anymore. Well, therefore, applying that to our case over here, when he says that all of my nechassim are also to you, Reuven, then it should mean it includes what's already not in his possession anymore. Mela, in other words, if it actually belongs to somebody else, of course, well, then you can't talk about. But here we're talking about he gave the matana to Reuven. It hasn't actually taken effect yet. So we're saying that he has it in mind. So by the same token, when he declares it hefker, it should be that he still has it in mind. So what's the difference? Again, whether he made it hefker before or after the neder, either way, he has it in mind. So that would be the girsa that we have in front of us in the Gemara over here. Miktsasim l'rishin, he says, some of my nechassim should go to the first one, to Reuven. V'kulam l'sheni, and all of my nechassim, later on, he says, all of my nechassim should go to Shimon. The din is rishin kona, sheni le'kona. Only the first one acquires his gift, meaning in other words, if the Shchiv Merah recovers, then he can't undo the gift. Sheni Lekona, the second one won't, because then that's a regular matnas Shchiv Merah, and it can get undone if Shimon recovers. So again, the point is, whether we learn like that, or whether we learn like the Ran said that we're talking about Avadim, the Rosh also brings that as another possible meaning of the Gemara. Either way, the point is, we see that when a person is speaking about his Nechassim, he's including things that he already verbally said he's going to give to somebody else, but the other person hasn't actually taken yet, and they're still included. So what's the difference? In other words, if you're going to tell me, according to Rabbi Yossi, the mechanism of hefker is that you made something hefker, means anybody can take it, but until they do, it's in my possession, then it shouldn't make a difference whether it was already hefker before the neder or after the neder. When he makes the neder and says, all my nechosim are also to you, it would have to include those as well.
So according to this period, when he said, I'm giving you a little bit, which little bit did he give him?
So according to that, when he says to Reuven, the Sasan, he's saying some of my nechassim, whatever it is, some of my...
No.
According to the Ran's explanation, we're talking about what he's giving to his two avodim. According to the Rosh's explanation, according to the Rosh's first explanation, and Tosfos's, we're talking about that, he just has two friends, the Shimon has two friends, Reuven and Shimon, and he says to Reuven, I'm giving you some of my nechassim, and later on he says to Shimon, I'm giving you all of my nechassim. Nothing to do with Avodim. Avodim would only be according to the Ran's explanation.
Avodim wouldn't work.
That's the thing. With Avodim, that's why the Ran has to switch around the Girsa and say that we're talking about that only the second one acquires, the first one does not, because in the case of Avodim, he can only acquire only if he's not an Eved anymore, and the only way to not be an Eved is to have received all of the Nechassim.
Even the Ran's questions, even according to the second
one. So whichever way we learn it, whether we learn that we're talking about Avodim and we're saying only the second one acquires, meaning, in other words, that we're saying when he said, all of my nechassim go to you, the second Eved, it includes what he already told the first Eved. Or whether we go according to the Rosh's explanation, that when he says to Shimon, all of my nechassim, it includes what he had already said he's going to give to Reuven. Either way, the point is, in the words, all my nechassim, he's including what he already said he was going to give before. To Reuven, or to the first Eved, as the case may be. Yeah.
And
we're still saying that he includes it. So one second. So it was still saying he includes it. By the same token, when now in our Gemara over here, when Shimon says to Reuven, you are also in all my nechassim, that should include even nechassim of his that are in that are in Hefker state, that he declared them Hefker, but didn't yet, nobody else took them yet. Nevertheless, we should say those are included. And therefore, if they're included, then Rabbi Yossi's distinction, then how is Rabbi Yossi making a distinction between whether he made them hefker before or whether he made them hefker after? It wouldn't work, right?
Exactly.
Yes, that's the question.
Yeah, it doesn't, exactly. And that was the initial contradiction. Well, the thing is this, when a master says to his eved, I'm giving you all your minor chasim, does that automatically mean he's freeing him?
That is exactly what it means, and that is how the mechanism works. As long as an Eved remains an Eved, he can't acquire anything. Mashkana Eved Kana Rabbi. So yes, the only way for him to actually have the slave acquire everything would be for him to say, you're acquiring all of my nechassim, all meaning you yourself. That's the point. If he only tells him mixas, then that wouldn't work, because then we have to assume. He says, I'm giving you some of my nechassim, implying I'm keeping some of my nechassim for myself. Well, the some of my nechassim could include you. Therefore, you'd still be an Eved. Therefore, you don't get anything. That's exactly what we're saying in our Gemara, according to the Ran, right?
So what is the point of giving a get shichur? I was under the understanding that it has to be said explicitly that he's freeing him.
Giving a get shichur is one way of freeing an Eved. There are a few ways. Even when we talk about this kind of thing, where he says that I'm giving you, the Eved, all of my nechassim, you still eventually require a get shichru in order to confirm it. The point is, in other words, that at that point, he is actually free. You need a get shichru to make it official, but he is actually free at that point, and he is able now to acquire all the nechassim. Once he's koina himself, then he's koina the nechassim as well, as opposed to, but it's also possible, of course, you can have a get shichru without nechassim. You can just tell an Eved, I'm writing you a get shichru, and you're free, and you don't get any of my nechassim. Of course, that's also possible.
Right.
I mean, here we're not talking about the dinim of shichru avadim, that's in Gittin mainly, but yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so the point is, Rava is saying, based on this question, it doesn't seem to work.
Is this the same with if a master has a shifra kananis and he's telling her
the same thing as far as this goes? Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. We're just using Eved because usually, you know, maybe Avodim are more common than Shvachos. Maybe just when in general, when the Torah talks unspecified, it usually talks in Lashon Zachar. Anyway, yeah. So anyway, the point is, Rava is saying, based on everything we've learned so far, how are we understanding Rabbi Yossi's Shita? You, Rabbi Yochanan, are telling us that Rabbi Yossi holds that while something is hefker, it still belongs to Shimon until somebody else picks it up. Well, then that should apply. So, and based on what we just learned about the case of gifts to the first one and the second one, then that should apply. Then that should include something that's hefker. Yet Rabbi Yossi is telling us that there's a distinction whether you made it hefker before or not. Rather, Rava says you should know. Rabbi Yossi's reason is based on a different consideration. We make a gzera because this might be similar to the case of the present that was given in Beis Choren. We're going to learn about it in the next part. Beis Choren is a city in Eretz Yisrael, northwest of Yerushalayim. The Mishnah describes where there were a case where similar to our Mishnah, there was a Mudr Hana, and he doesn't have what to eat. So now the Mishnah describes over there a case in Beis Choren, there was a man whose father had made a neder not to have Hana from him. So now the son, so let's give them names. Yaakov had made a neder that he's not going to have Hana from his son Reuven.
Oh,
from his own son Reuven. Now Reuven was going to be marrying off his son Chanoch. He wants to invite his father to the wedding. What's he going to do? He can't. His father's Mudr Hana from him. So Reuven goes over to somebody else. He goes over to Moshe and tells him, I want to give you all the food I want to give you the chotzer and the food and everything as a present. And then he figures that way Moshe will be able to invite his father and there won't be a problem. So Moshe says, you know what? If all of this belongs to me, then I want to be able to declare it a hekdesh. And Reuven says, one second, I didn't give it to you to give it to hekdesh. So Moshe says, so what are you thinking? You gave it to me in order that you can use me as a cat's paw to get around your neder. I'm not accepting that. So the Chachamim said, it's true. A matona has to be, when you give something as a matana, it has to be enough of a matana that the other person, the recipient, would have the right to declare it hektish if he so desired. If you give somebody a matana and he doesn't have the ability to declare it hektish, then the Chachamim are saying it's not a matana. We're going to talk about, when we get to that on Daf Mem Ches, Bez Hashem, we'll talk about how that works with matana amanas lahachzir, which we do every year when it comes to the Lulav and Esrog. We'll get to that point, Bez Hashem. But anyway, the point is, Rav is saying, Rabbi Yossi is going to say over here, sure, midaraisa it should work to be able to put the food on a rock and declare it hefker, and Reuven would be able to take it. But it's very similar to Maisa de Beis Chorin, where you're only doing it as a very clear harama, you're only doing it as a very clear subterfuge to get around the neder, and we don't want you to do that, and therefore Rabbi Yossi is saying that midrabanan, we're making a gzera that we're not going to allow you to do that. So the Chachamim are not concerned about that, therefore they're going to allow it.
Even the father just to go to Bez and say, you know, I didn't realize that.
If the father, wants to go to Beis Din and be Matan Neder, sure, that would also be a possibility. But yeah. Anyway, so that's the point. In other words, so Rava is saying nothing to do with the question. So we don't have to use Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of Rabbi Yossi. We can say that Rabbi Yossi's understanding of hefker, of the mechanism of hefker, is the same as the Chachamim. Once you declare something hefker, then it's out of your rishus. But over here in this case, so not like we said that it's still in your rishus until somebody else picks it up. No, it would actually be out of your rishus. So according to that, the argument is, do we make a zera in this case to prevent that Shimon should put it on the rock in order that Reuven should take it? Or are we making a zera to not allow that because it's too similar to Maisa de Beis Chorin? So midaraisa, it wouldn't have been a problem. The problem is only drabanan. An interesting point, actually, there is a little bit of lumdus in this connection, actually. So we're saying according to Rava, ultimately everybody agrees on the mechanism of hefker. Now we're going to talk about in the next couple of blocks, Memdalad and the first half of Memhei, we're going to talk about hefker in more detail. But the interesting question that comes up in this connection, what exactly is hefker? The Rambam actually puts the dinim of hefker in Hilchos Nedarim, just like we have here in the Gemara, where the dinim of hefker are here in Masechta Nedarim, which fine, the Gemara doesn't always keep to a topic, but the Rambam keeps to topics. He puts the halachas of hefker in the halachas of Nedarim, which seems to imply that he considers when you say this item is hefker, you're actually making a neder on it. And the Rambam actually says it's not really a neder, but it's similar to a neder in the sense that you can't change your mind. You can't just say, you know what, I changed my mind and I want it back. If nobody else takes it, then yeah, you can take it back. So the Ksois writes on that he says that it means that the Rambam seems to say that maybe even we do say that Hefker works, like we said before, Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of Rabbi Yossi. Maybe in fact, the Rambam would learn all Gemara to be saying the item is in fact in your possession. You're just not allowed to take it back because you made in effect a neder to make it Hefker, and therefore you're not allowed to transgress your neder. Then different achronim, the Chassam Sofer and the Shimon Shkot, ask on that and say over here that we're saying just the opposite. We seem to have concluded that everybody agrees that Hefker actually leaves your Rishus. So in fact, there is discussion about that. The Chassam Sofer actually distinguishes between, he says there's a difference between Hefker, the Rambam is saying that Hefker is not a neder, but he would say, in other words, says the Chassam Sofer, saying that something will be Hefker is a type of neder. In effect, what you're saying is, I am making a neder that in the future I will make this Hefker. Then when he actually makes it Hefker, that's the fulfillment of that neder. So therefore, at that point, it doesn't belong to him anymore. So it's not when the Rambam says he's not allowed to change his mind, we mean after he said, I'm going to declare this thing Hefker, then he can't change his mind. Once he actually declared it Hefker, he can't change his mind anyway, because it doesn't belong to him anymore. And then Reb Shimon Shkop just says that he says the Rambam is not saying at all that Hefker is any kind of neder. He just means that a neder gives something a new status in halacha, and so does Hefker give something a new status, but not that Hefker is actually a type of neder in any way. So we'll be talking about tomorrow and the next day, Bez Hashem, we're going to be talking about dinim of hefker, and that'll bring us to the end of the parak. Everyone.
So Al Pi Halacha is making something hefker, is it a neder or it's not? According
to the
Chachamim,
the Rambam uses the expression that it's not a neder. However, you're not allowed to transgress it. So that's where you have the different achronim are talking about what does the Rambam mean by that? Does he mean that does he mean that actually does he mean that it actually still remains in your possession? Like we said, Rabbi Yochanan understands Rabbi Yossi, but you're not allowed to change your mind because that would be violating a neder. Or is it that when you say, I'm going to make this thing hefker, that's already considered a neder, and then when you actually make it hefker, then it's out of your possession completely and you can't take it back? Or is it, if not really considered a neder at all, it's just we're saying that a neder is like hefker, that a neder and hefker both have this in common, that you're changing the status of the thing.
So what depends which halacha you ask.
Depends on la halacha, and I don't know that it necessarily makes a difference. La halacha, if you say that something is hefker, then it's hefker. As we're going to talk about in the Gemara, midrabanon, you have to make it hefker in front of three people anyway. Is there necessarily going to be I suppose there would be a nafkamina and halacha, but for the most part, practically speaking, it's not going to really make a difference. It's more of a lumdus, how you understand the mechanism of hefker and the mechanism of nadarim rather than necessarily has a nafkamina in practice in halacha.
Yeah.